Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you may be, Global Tribe of Disruptors. It's Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today's show is episode 115, yowza. Ooh. And the name of the show is Wonder. I wonder how we got to 115 episodes.
That's a big wonder.
That's a big wonder, right? You can catch all 114 previous episodes of Dudes of Disruption on Podomatic and on iTunes. You are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. In studio with me is Sam Leibowitz, who I'll show you in a moment. He is the conscious consultant. Sam, if I can turn this camera without destroying everything.
Hey, everybody.
There you go.
How you all doing?
There you go. We're live on Facebook as well here. So I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity, awaken people so everyone, each of us, gets to leave our mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics, and personal development. I run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. I also run a social action group called Cocktails with Conviction. Lots going on, Sam.
Yeah, baby. Especially that Cocktails with Conviction. We really got a lot going on these days.
Yes. We actually have an event coming up, Sam, on February the 12th. An email will be going out with an invite.
All right.
So if you want to stay engaged around politics, come join the Coach Nick at CoachNick.com for an invite to Cocktails with Conviction. If you want to join our men's group, Coach Nick at CoachNick.com. Today's show, Sam, as I said, was inspired. Well, I didn't say this part. The name of the show is Wonder, and the show was inspired by the movie Wonder, which is also a best-selling book, which I watched over the holidays with my kids. My stepdaughter, I believe I'm going to get this number right, between reading the book, mm-hmm, and listening to the audio, and now watching the movie twice, uh-huh, I believe a combination of all three, she has now been with the content over 160 times.
Whoa, really?
She
must really love it.
She really does love it. I was both moved and reminded of the importance of how we need to be aware of our judgments and our assumptions of others, both in our personal lives and professionally, at work with our clients and our teams.
I actually have another movie for you. If you liked Wonder and your daughter liked it, it's a little bit darker, but it's called A Monster Calls.
Okay.
It's about a little boy whose mother's dying of cancer.
Okay.
And what he goes through to deal with that.
Interesting.
So it was made as a children's movie, but it's actually a very adult theme and very much disrupting our ideas of what is healing all about. So I just want to offer that to you.
Look at Sam disrupting the show already with another movie. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Sam. You know, our judgments and our assumptions, Sam, are influencing. This is why it's important to become aware of and get connected to our judgments and our assumptions, because they're influencing how we interact with others. And those interactions are producing the results that we are generating in our lives, both at home and at work. So if you want to know why you're producing some of the results that you're producing, why you're taking certain actions, a place to look at is your judgments and your assumptions, how you judge others, right? So Sam, as we do, we start every show before we jump into it, like every other 114 episodes, which, by the way, again, you can find on Podomatic and on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
I know that, dude.
Sam, you know where that's from, right? Who that voice is?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is it from Ridgemont High?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes. We got movies all over the place here. We're just dropping wisdom around movies. So we start every show with what we call Nick's Riff and a quote to start the riff, to help set a context. And it's going to be one that most of our listeners and viewers have heard before, which is never judge a book by its cover.
That's an oldie but goodie.
An oldie but a goodie. Never judge a book by its cover. I went to Wikipedia. Thank you. And it says the English idiom, "Don't judge a book by its cover," is a metaphorical phrase which means you should not prejudge the worth or value of something by its outward appearance alone. For example, like the main character in the movie Wonder, right, whose name is August Pullman, and I believe they were calling him Augie, you should not prejudge the worth or value of something or someone by its outward appearance alone. What do you think about that, Sam?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big, big believer in that. I love movies like that. And there have been like a lot of movies made about like people with disabilities who, you know, people have discounted and didn't think they have much to contribute.
Right.
And then through the course of the story, they actually ended up contributed quite a great deal.
Yes.
And so this whole idea of like looking at superficial things really it doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve us as a community.
Yes. And it doesn't serve us personally, even for that matter, because as I
Absolutely.
Said at the very beginning, how we judge others, especially when we're judging them for the first time.
Right.
Right. How we judge others, how we assess others, how we make assumptions about them and about their being impacts how we will interact with them, which ultimately impacts the results that we're going to produce with them. So this movie that inspired this show, which is episode 115 called Wonder, Never Judge a Book by Its Cover, this uplifting and moving novel and now movie is the main character, as I mentioned, is August Pullman, or I think they call him Augie.
Augie, yeah.
Is a 10-year-old boy with a severe facial disfigurement, right? Uh-huh. And when he joins mainstream school after years of homeschooling by his mom, right. He has to contend with friendships, the fallouts of those friendships, bullying, separation, isolation, judgment. And somehow throughout the whole movie, he manages to maintain an upbeat, optimistic attitude throughout all of it.
If I remember properly, I didn't see the movie, but I think I saw the trailer for it. Wasn't he like going to school wearing a space helmet or
a helmet
or some kind?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was afraid of people seeing what
exactly.
he looked like.
Yep, exactly. And what you realize instantly, Sam, is that this is a kid that is far beyond his years. Right, which is, by the way, always the case, right?
Yeah. an old soul in a small body.
An old soul in a small body wearing a helmet, at least for part of the movie, right? He's smart. He's funny. He's charming. He's imaginative. He's kind. He's sensitive. By the way, those are all the things, all the stuff that actually matters,
right?
The face, you know, how you look actually matters less. Yeah. I mean, to me, I want someone who's smart, funny, charming, imaginative, collaborative, kind, connected, respectful,
right,
sensitive.
Right.
That's the stuff that matters. And yet, when he first goes to school and throughout his journey, especially in the early months, he's literally ridiculed.
Right.
At first sight, without a word.
Of
without
course.
Him speaking a word, he
oh,
is.
Right,
it's
yeah.
not even like, oh, I don't want to be friends with you. He's actually. People are just like they're passing judgment. They're
right.
judging the book by literally its cover without
yeah.
knowing what's underneath. Right. So he's ridiculed at first sight. No one wants to sit with him at the lunch table. He's actually getting bullied, both physically, verbally, notes, all because he looks a certain way. Nothing to do, by the way, with a single word or belief that he may have spoken or shared.
No.
Think about that.
Yeah,
here's a kid getting bullied and being separated and isolated without ever saying a word. And the question for the Global Tribe of Disruptors is, where has that happened to you? Where you haven't said a word and you've been biased or judged or there's been separation. And where are you doing it to others? Not because you're a bad person. Not because you're a bad human being, but sometimes that's what happens in our relationships, in our day-to-day, week-to-week interactions, right? When we judge people by the cover of the book?
By the cover.
By the cover of the book only, we are producing a certain result. The opportunity, the disruption, is to go beyond what you see.
Right, but people do that all the time, don't they? I mean, kids do it, adults do it. If somebody is overweight,
yes.
If they're short, if they're overly short, overly
yes.
tall,
yes.
anything that's like outside of quote unquote normal,
what's acceptable,
people judge right away, and there are certain And there are even certain things attached to that.
Yes.
Like if the person is sloppy, it's like, oh, they're sloppy, they're no good, they don't care, this and that.
Yes.
And you don't really know what's going on with that child.
Exactly. Well, to your point, just to build on that, Sam, I'm reminded of an exercise I once did in a personal development workshop where I went around the room, and there was about 20 people in the room. I went around the room and asked each of the people in the room, had they ever felt biased or felt a judgment against them? Without having ever spoken a word. And each of them had a story within seconds, right? Because I think as a human being, we've all had that experience and we've all initiated that as well. That doesn't make us a bad person or the people who did it to us as bad people. That's not the point of this conversation. So I go around the room of these 20 folks and I ask that question, have you ever been judged or biased? Everybody had a story. At the end of the shares, right? You know, somebody said, "Yeah, I was judged by you know my resume not having graduated from college, for example, right? Never spoke a word, right? But people were judging me either at networking events or in interviews or you know not getting interviews because I didn't have a bachelor's degree, for example, right? So everyone had a story, right? Some more extreme than others, but at the end of the day, they're all extreme because it's the experience of feeling judged, right?
Right.
So at the end of it." I asked all 20 people, I said, what's the one word you wish they used or what's the one word you wish other people would presence in those moments and situations? And to a person, Sam, what do you think they said with the one word that they wish that other people would have said in those instances?
Oh, instead of judging them?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. Awareness.
Awareness.
They said, just to peel that back a little bit more, they said, I wish those people had awareness and knew me better before judging me.
Right.
So yes, it's if you have a requirement called or you have a certain perspective on education that you want people to have a bachelor's degree or a master's or a PhD or whatever it may be, that's great. And at the same time, I just wish that you were aware of your bias. And secondly, mm-hmm. I wish you just get to know me a little bit.
Right.
Because
right.
if you got to know me, you might have a different experience. You might actually assess me and the situation differently. Maybe.
Maybe.
But it was just fascinating that the general sentiment was that they just wish that the other person or people or group that had biased against them or had judged them, if they had just known me a little bit better, we would have eliminated all of that, which is mm-hmm. what happened in the movie Wonder. Because mm-hmm. here's a boy who goes to school for the first time and gets judged immediately without literally saying a word. And had people spoken to him and been in a discovery of him initially, they would have realized literally he was wicked smart, mm-hmm. very funny, mm-hmm. highly collaborative, super kind, super sensitive. He was all these wonderful things.
Right, right. And you know what that is? I would call that a crisis of presence.
Oh, okay. Say more about that.
Because when we judge somebody, something in this way, we're not really being present to them,
yes.
right? The people you said, they responded with like, I just wish there was more awareness, that they got to know me.
Yes.
Well, if you're truly being present with somebody, you're getting to know them.
Yes.
Then those judgments are secondary. They come afterwards because the judgments come in when we're not really being present to what's right in front of us.
Correct. Well, I think what you're describing to some degree, which I know a lot of leaders find to be important, is bringing and presencing a higher level, a higher degree of emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Especially when it relates to our emotions and the people that we're interacting with, right? When you have a high level of emotional intelligence, what one would do is identify that your first impression is just that. It's right. just a first impression.
Right.
Recognize what your emotional response to that person is, and then consider whether that's enough of a response for drawing a conclusion or not. Recognize that a first impression often is automatic based on yes. a series of things that have brought you to this place in this moment in time, and that you don't have to be right about them. And it's not even that you have to be wrong about them.
Right.
It's
right.
just that a first impression, when you meet someone at a networking event, or you meet a prospect or a client for the first time, or someone comes in for an interview for the first time, that that it's just a first impression. And, you know, we were talking prior to going live about, listen, there's an element of first impression or making first impressions and assessing a person that's important, right? It dates back to when we were running around and operating inside of caves. You know, we needed to make judgments immediately to protect ourselves,
right?
To protect ourselves from evil, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And to some degree, we still do, right? Because we want a first impression around, you know, do I give this person my money to invest in it? Do I hire this person to join my team? You know, do I hire this contractor to support me with my largest client, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to have a first impression, like, hey, this person showed up 5 minutes late for a meeting. That might mean something. That's okay.
Right.
And at the same time, the disruption is not to be right about it. You can use it as a data
right,
point.
Or not to be attached to your
and
judgment.
And not to be attached. Exactly. I love that. You don't have to be attached to your first impression. So to me, a high level of emotional intelligence is someone who says, a first impression is just a first impression. And now let me be in a discovery of the person. Let me be in a discovery of the situation, because maybe my first impression is right. Maybe this person is always late. Maybe they're sloppy. Maybe they're irresponsible or not. Maybe something just happened that had them come 5 minutes late to this meeting or interview.
Do you know why where the custom of shaking hands when you first meet a person comes from?
Where's it come from?
Comes from of ancient times where you would shake a person's hand to make sure they weren't reaching for their dagger or that they didn't have a dagger up their sleeve.
Oh, interesting.
So it was to check your first impression, is this a safe person or not?
Interesting. Interesting. I love
and
that.
And now, don't we judge somebody by how they shake your hand?
Yes, absolutely. Doesn't and there's that, research.
That's
there's,
a big, big first impression.
Yeah, there's research on the person's ability to, how firm they shake it. Does a person make eye contact while they're shaking your hand, right? And again, this is not about making wrong our first impressions. The opportunity, the disruption is to identify that a first impression is just a first impression. And to be willing to be wrong, and not wrong like make wrong yourself, but willing to be like loosen the grip on this thing called, well, my first impression was, you know, he's irresponsible, or that, you know, in a relationship, he or she is a player, or, you know, they're not interested in a serious relationship. Again, use it as a data point, not to get righteous about it. I mean, look, here's the thing.
Right. It's only one data point.
It's one data point of many that you can have, right?
Exactly.
I mean, and for the people who are watching and listening, looking back on some people that you've met, both in your personal life and in your business, how often have you perceived the person you know now in a completely different light than the way you initially met him or her? You know, I remember being involved in an organization that did a number of personal development workshops, and I remember, you know, it's ironic, right? I was in these personal development workshops, and there was an individual who I judged. I judged them based on how they looked. I judged them because the two of us had actually gone on a date with the same person. I judged them in how they spoke. Meanwhile, I had never had a conversation with them.
Mm.
Now, this is about 15 years ago. And we had immense separation between the two of us,
mm-hmm.
right? When we were in a room together, you know, he was on one side, I was on the other side. And what happened after we both went through these series of workshops, we both went back and volunteered.
Oh.
And we volunteered as coaches in one of the programs.
Okay.
And I'm not kidding you, Sam, you can't even make it up. Mm-hmm. Within minutes, we fell in love with each other. Because what happened is we both got connected to and we identified what we were both committed to in our lives. Uh-huh. And what we realized was that we had made all these assumptions and all these judgments and all these first impressions, right? Which, again, is okay. However, it had gotten in the way of us coming together sooner, because here was an individual who was committed to changing the world. Here was an individual who was committed to transforming people. And I was up until that point, I had let how he spoke or his accent get in the way, or how he looked, or that he had gone on the same date with a woman that I had gone on a date with.
Mm-hmm.
15 years later,
mm-hmm.
that person, he and I are going to Haiti together. He's, you know, he and I, you know, helped, you know, build our men's group 2 years ago, and it was his inspiration. It was his inspiration to have our men's group and some of our family members go to Haiti, which we're doing this March. We're going to Haiti. We're
Wonderful.
Raising $15,000 to help build a new library, to generate 13 new scholarships for kids, you know, to go to school. But think about it. Think about what's been now created. Mm-hmm. A men's group, a journey to Haiti, you know, raising money. Had I been right about my first impressions, this may not have been possible.
Can I give you a story of something similar?
Yes.
I don't know if I ever told you this, but you know, my wife and I have been married close to 15 years now.
Congratulations. Or as they say, mazel.
Mazel tov, yeah. When we first met each other, we didn't like each other.
I love it.
Our first date, you know, we had dinner together and we went for a walk, and she was just quiet and had a very cold look on her face, which got me nervous. So I started talking and blabbering a lot. And she didn't like me because she felt I talked too much.
Right.
And I felt like, yeah, no connection, no chemistry.
Right.
Nothing's ever going to happen. And the only reason why we just completely didn't go our separate route was about 2 weeks later, there was the opera in the park, the Metropolitan Opera that happens in the summertime in the park. And I knew she loved opera, and I, you know, would go on occasion. And I, like, it was a hot, sticky summer. I just wanted to go out and hang out in the park with somebody. Everybody else was busy. I called her up and said, "You want to go tomorrow night?" And she's like, "Okay." And then the night came, and it's like she forgot.
Right.
And I had to cajole her for about 20 minutes on the phone until I finally convinced her to come out. And then we spent 3 hours in the park,
right,
listening to great music that she enjoyed,
right,
snacking and eating. And then we realized that, you know, we kind of liked each other.
And here you are 15 years later.
15 years and later, you know what still married.
And you know what I love about your story is what you said. You said, you know, we on that first date, she had a certain look on her face.
Yeah.
She didn't even say anything. She had a look on her face.
That's the problem. She didn't say anything.
Well, fair, but again, like in the movie Wonder,
yes,
this main character, Augie,
yes,
goes to school, doesn't say a word, and not only do people not want to hang with him,
right,
they actually bully him.
Right.
You know, and the question is, again, you know, where are we doing that unintentionally or unconsciously? Where are we creating separation because we're judging the book by its cover without ever being in discovery of that person? Let me just drop a little bit of research around this thing called first impressions. Researchers out of Princeton University have found that people make judgments about such things as trustworthiness, competence, and likability literally within a fraction of a second after seeing someone's face and without ever exchanging a single word. Studies have found that out of all the traits examined, the participants judge trustworthiness the quickest, within 100 milliseconds. Mm. Even when given more time, their judgments about trustworthiness typically didn't change, which means our initial split-second assessment pretty much stuck, which means that there was an unwillingness to loosen the grip. Look, it appears based on research like that we are hardwired to draw these inferences in a fast, sometimes unreflective way, right? The link between a facial feature like you were just describing about your wife, who, you know, she didn't say much, she had a certain look on her face.
Yeah.
But the connection between a facial expression,
yeah,
and the person's character may be tenuous at best.
Right.
Just because your wife had a certain look doesn't mean she's not interested or interested in you. And by the way, maybe she wasn't interested in that moment, and there's still an opportunity to be in discovery.
Yes.
So the question for the Global Tribe of Disruptors is, what if you didn't hold on so tight to those first impressions? What if your goal instead was to get to know people first through a conversation rather than just by sight, meaning not just basing it on their body language, leaning forward or leaning back or slouching? Instead of just using sight as your judgment or your assessment to either build someone up or rip them apart, and instead used a conversation to be in a discovery of them. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. You can find the Dudes on social media, Dudes of Disruption on Facebook. DOD Talk Radio on Twitter. If you want to join our men's group or want to come as a guest, email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. I mentioned the Haiti trip. Our men's group and some of our family members, 23 of us, are going to Haiti at the end of March to help build a new library and to send 13 new kids to school called the Heart and Haiti School. If you're interested in contributing, we've already raised over $11,000. Email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. Also, we have the social action group called Cocktails with Conviction if you want to get involved politically. February 12th here in New York City. Email me, CoachNick@CoachNick.com, for more details. You've also been listening to Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant. You can find the dudes in all what will now be 115 episodes on both iTunes and Podomatic. And Sam, we're at that time, which is our parting shots. So you're going to be on the hot seat.
Uh-oh.
So what's your parting shot? Our show today has been called Wonder. We started the show really contextually with our quote, like we always do, which is, don't judge a book by its cover. What say you?
I say, always give a person a second chance and get more data points. Don't judge anybody by just one data point.
Yep. I love it. Short and sweet.
Yeah.
And Sam, how can people get in touch with you, and what shows do you do?
And my show is The Conscious Consultant Hour, which airs live every Thursday at 12 noon Eastern time to 1 p.m. I do a Facebook live stream as well. Our Facebook page for the network is Talk Radio NYC, and our website is talkradio.nyc.
Awesome. Awesome. So making judgments, my closing remarks is my parting shot is making judgments about others based on our initial observations only is certainly natural. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that, not making it wrong. And then most likely, our inclination to make these quick judgments is rooted in our early evolution as humans, which is the need to determine whether or not a stranger, a new person, poses a threat or not. It's also rooted in how we are socialized and how we're brought up. And yet, even though evolution and how we're brought up brings us to our biases and judgments, that's still not an excuse to hold on to them as the truth, to hold on to those first impressions, those first assumptions, and those first judgments. The disruption is to actually be willing to be wrong about your first impressions, not like a make wrong, as I said earlier, but rather that the juice in life, the juice in relationships, is actually about being in the discovery. And that's really the solution, is to wonder, like the movie says, to wonder, like a kid walking into a candy store and is like in discovery of what lies here in this candy store, right? What's here that I can open up? What can I have? What new thing can I discover? That's the juice in our relationships, both at home and at work. And the two things that I was reminded of finally with the movie Wonder, which inspired this particular podcast episode, is please, please, please avoid judging anyone based on their appearance. Because like the movie, the character was upbeat, he was creative, he was kind, he was a cool little dude. And the second is, don't let your circumstances, like in this case, the main character, Augie, having a disfigured face, it's not your circumstances that determine your happiness, but how you feel about you first. Do you respect yourself? Do you value yourself? Do you take care of yourself? Do you give yourself a vote? And I say, no matter what you look like or sound like or dress like or where you come from, make sure you give yourself a vote first. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. Sam Leibowitz, the conscious consultant, has been on the show as well. You can find the Dudes of Disruption on podcast the podcast you can find on iTunes and on Podomatic. If you want individual coaching or have any questions about our show, email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. We end every show, all 115 episodes, the same way.
Woohoo.
Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because the dudes happened.